Right. We're going to have the reading now. If you have a Bible, it's 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 9, if you want to look it up. And it's also going to appear on the screen. Thank you, Ollie. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling amongst you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. We are fellow workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Now, hands up. Who here likes gardening? Hands up. Who likes gardening? Yep. Okay. Right. Fair number of you. Some of you don't, like me. Yep. That's all right. Turn to your neighbour. Whether you like gardening or not, talk about the kinds of things you need to do to enable something to grow. Okay, the things you need to do to enable something to grow in a garden or a field. And then as you share ideas, think on this more philosophical question. When you've done all those things, can you actually make anything grow? Okay, off you go. A few 30 seconds. What do you need to do to make things grow? Can you make things grow? Okay, right, that's enough. So, any ideas? What kind of things can you do to enable things to grow? Prepare the grounds, yep. Water, plant food, yep. Put the seed in, plant food, water, and then when it's starting to grow, maybe you could use canes or things to train it and stuff. But what about this question, can you make things grow, really and truly? You kind of think you can, but in reality, of course, the growth comes from God. You can't make it grow. You can do all the good stuff, prepare the ground, you can put the seed in, you can water, plant food, make sure it's good soil, bit of fertilizer and all that good stuff. But when it comes down to it, you cannot make the things grow. But here's another question. If you do nothing, will things grow? Yeah, bit of a weird one that, isn't it? You can't make stuff grow, and you can do stuff to try and help things grow, but you can't make it grow. But if you do nothing, stuff still grows. Interesting. Ponder that. Let's go to the next slide. There's a picture. There's a well-managed garden. And someone's done all this nice trimming and what have you, and cultivated this kind of bush thing. I don't know, wouldn't never be able to do that myself. But then in the corner is a picture of a meadow. Actually, it's just not far from Ely. It's on one of the walks I take. And it's just a field that's left on its own, and up come all these pretty flowers, these yellow flowers and purpley ones and what have you. And it just grows. And it's amazing. Our ability to go with God, to listen and to see what he is doing, our ability to do that, to go with God, is a spiritual exercise. It's a spiritual thing to be able to go with God where he's bringing growth and to go with that. And spiritual leadership is being able to contribute to that happening. You can't make it happen, but you can contribute to that happening. Spiritual leadership is encouraging others to join in, if you like, to manage or help manage the garden. But going with what God is doing. And in doing that, you can make the conditions, you can do things, you can organize, manage things. But let's remember the fundamental point. At the end of the day, even when you've done all that good stuff, it's God who makes it grow. In the big scheme of things, we are just following what God is doing, contributing to it, but just following and going with God's leading. Verses 1 to 4 in the passage, Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. And he's saying to them, look, guys, grow up. Think differently. You cannot think how you used to. Grow up spiritually to not think in terms of the world. The world has its standards and its way of leading. And we've seen plenty of that in the past couple of weeks. And with the world and its standards and its ways of leading, what do you get? You get jealousy, quarreling, stabbing in the back, all kinds of things, divides, all the kinds of stuff. But we've actually, I've got the most perfect sermon illustration played out on our TV screens and on news in the past couple of weeks. That's what you get when you go with the world's standards. That's the product of it. And Paul is saying to these Corinthians, think differently to that. Don't simply try and do what you used to do before you met with Christ. Because the byproduct of that leads to all this stuff that we can now see. You must grow up and think now as someone in Christ, which is differently. And to do that, you need to think spiritually. And the foundation of thinking spiritually is to remember that Jesus is Lord. So whether there is an EU, or whether there is not an EU, whether someone or country is in the EU or not an EU, have a detachment, because ultimately, in any case, Jesus is Lord. And you may be fearful about what's going on, you may be delighted about what's going on. But for the Christian, you think spiritually and think, well, actually, Jesus is above all that, and his purposes will prevail no matter and in spite of all that. So although to be anxious or whatever is an understandable human emotion, know that Jesus is Lord and his purposes will prevail, and in his purposes there is no room for the jealousy and the quarreling that is a byproduct of thinking in a normal worldly human fashion, the kind of stuff that we've seen. There is no room for that. So in verse 5, Paul lines himself up with other fellow leaders, himself, Paul, and Apollos, and there's other leaders at the time that he was working with, and he lines them up, including themselves, kind of like a leadership contest, lining up the faces. And he asks the question, who are we? But then he immediately gives his own answer. And his answer is different to the leadership lineup that we've seen on the news over the past few days, where different people are standing up and saying, well, this is me and this is what I can bring to the party and this is what I can do for the country and this is what I'm about. He doesn't say that. He simply says, here I am, Paul, here's Apollos and here's the others. We are servants. We are on assignment from Jesus our Lord. Each of us has different roles to play. And in that, below Jesus, we are all equal with our different roles and assignments. And then in verse 6, he goes on to use this gardener image. He says, look, for you in Corinth, I planted some seeds. My colleague Apollos, he did the watering. And God made it grow. The fact that you are now believers and have formed the church in Corinth is because God has made you grow. I did my bit, Apollos did his bit, but God made it grow. So Paul and Apollos are working in God's work like gardeners. They've helped nurture. They've done stuff to help provide the right conditions. And they've been there, but through them, God has acted and brought about the growth. Someone once said, it was a conference Karen and I went to at the beginning of this year. It said about leadership. They said, be a mum or dad, not a boss. Be a mum or dad as a leader, not a boss. In other words, be alongside people, help nurture, enable growth, but remember that you cannot force the growth. You can't boss people into growing. You have to be alongside and nurture, like a mum or dad rather than a nurse. That resonates with this image of being a leader as a gardener. You can nurture, you can provide the right conditions, but you cannot boss a plant into growing. Only God can bring the growth. But with that, let's go further. That you can provide the conditions for growth, but it's God who brings the growth, and it is God who will shape things in the big picture. And that's where I go back to my couple of pictures on the screen here, because in the bigger, the main picture, clearly a gardener has done a lot of shaping and has cut this kind of bush thing into this incredible pattern. But in the big picture, it's God who shapes. It's God who shapes the work. So maybe even in the wild meadow, with its kind of seeming chaos and disorder, God can shape and bring order. And our job is to learn to go with that, to see what God wants to do on a church scale, a city scale, a national scale, and an international scale. Let God shape. And let us be the people who are learning to go with that, to helping that to form. So a good question to learn to ask repeatedly, to go on asking, is this: what is God up to, and what should my role be in it? What is God up to, and what is my role in it? And to keep asking that question, return to it every 6 months, year, every few years. As you look around, think, what is God now up to? What shape is he leading and creating? And what is my role in those purposes to bring that shape? Let's have a think of what it means to lead as a gardener. It means to have intentions, but not necessarily rigid plans. To have intentions for how the garden might look, but not be rigid, because it's God who's going to bring the growth. So for us as a church, a bit of a case study, a worked example, we have an intention to encourage and provide the conditions for witnessing communities, missional communities, to form and start in different places, different ways around the city. And that's an intention. What we don't have, what we can't have, is a spreadsheet that says, by October we'll have a missional community there, and by December we'll have a missional community there, and by next Easter we'll have 3, 5, 10, whatever missional communities, and that's the way it's going to be. We can't have that rigid plan. We can have the intention and pray and watch and see where God brings the growth. And we nurture that, our emphasis on discipleship and learning by doing, encouraging the iPods, the praying in local areas or for local places like schools, opportunities in the community, looking for those and trying and experimenting, working in those. All those things are us nurturing that intention, looking to provide the conditions for that kind of growth. But ultimately, we must wait for God to bring that growth. So have intentions rather than rigid plans. The second point of a leader as a gardener: look for where the energy and growth is and go with that. Look around, see what God is already doing, and nurture into that. Number three, leave room for surprises. God might bring something up that takes us by surprise, and we have to be flexible and ready and available to go with that when it arises. And that means not wanting to control all the outcomes, but actually sitting light and saying, well, we're working this way, we think the outcomes will be this, but God may surprise us. So let's drop the control and go with God's pleasant surprise when that happens. Number four is go with the journey that God takes people on, rather than trying to intervene in every little detail. If you're a gardener and you've got this nice plant that you're helping to grow, you might do stuff to help it to grow, and you might encourage it, you might do some pruning, snip off a few leaves and that, but you cannot control every single leaf and sprout and twig or flower bud that plant is going to bring. There's natural biological processes going on in there. You cannot control all those processes. You might be able to do stuff around the plant, but you cannot control every... Let us not try and control every little detail, but learn to go with what God is doing. And that means number five, keep listening and asking questions. Asking that question, what is God up to? And what should my role be in it? To monitor and adjust along the way. And so number six, that will mean sometimes repotting, sometimes some drastic pruning, sometimes some leaving to wither as God brings new growth elsewhere, and at other times simply standing back and letting things grow. But as you do that, learn to ask the question, as well as asking the question, what is God up to, my role in it? Ask the question, is this fruitful? Think, what kind of fruit do we want to see from this? What kind of fruit does God want to bring from this? Is that happening? That's a question we asked as a church a couple of years ago, when we took the quite brave decision to stop doing messy church. And from that, we could then birth and see imagine grow. And we asked the question, is this the kind of a fruit that we want to be seeing, that we expect to be seeing? And if not, maybe it's time to let that go and see if there's growth elsewhere. And we went through that process. Not an easy process to go through necessarily, but it's one that we need to be alert to. Is this fruitful? Well, in the big picture, should this image of the leader as a gardener, should that be a surprise that we can use this image? Well, go right back to the beginning of your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2. God creates. And where does he put man and woman when he has created? In a garden. That is the scene of creation, of God saying, be fruitful, do wonderful stuff, manage the garden, take care of it, work the land. It's in a garden. And then to the other end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, what was the image? We actually had it in our March Imagine service. We got a reminder at the back there with the tree and the leaves. Remember, we had this river starting from a trickling tap that Joshua painted for us, and it ran, it expanded out into a big river, and it ended up at that tree with the leaves and the fruits. The end result is this picture of a river and fruit growing 12 crops a year and trees and leaves. Okay, it's not quite a garden, but it's still on this kind of growing stuff kind of theme. Garden at the beginning, garden and fruitfulness at the end. But we know, don't we, that in the middle we live in this fallen, broken, hurting world where working the garden is hard work. See Genesis chapter 3 for that. But Jesus came to restore, to put things right. And that would take him to the cross. And on the cross he would die, and soldiers would take his body down, and some people then took his body, laid it in the tomb. Answer me, where was the tomb situated? What kind of place was the tomb? In a garden. And Mary on the third day went to see if she could do a bit more work with the spices and doing what they did to bodies to preserve. And to her surprise, she found that the tomb is open, and she looked in and the body's not there. The grave clothes are there, but the body's not there. And so she goes back out into the garden and she sees this person. Now we know, reading the story with hindsight, that this person is Jesus. But she doesn't recognize him straight away. She doesn't get that. She looks at him, and in John's gospel, we are told that she thought he was the gardener. Jesus, the gardener. You might think, well, I've just picked verses and got this lucky coincidence. And if you want to think that it's a lucky coincidence that makes my sermon nice, that's fine. But maybe you could see the metaphor of a garden as the place where God puts us to grow and bring fruitfulness. And Jesus, in putting things right, reestablishes that role as the gardener to grow and bring fruitfulness. And invites us to join in the gardening task as well. Paul saw that. In verse 9, he describes himself, we are God's fellow workers, working in the field. The field was, again, a metaphor for God's people. We are working for people. We are working amongst people to point them and draw them and hope that they turn to Christ. They're like a field, and we're working. We're called to be gardeners in this field of people. If you've got a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 45. This is a verse that we used for our praying as a leadership team a few Saturdays ago. And again, it kind of works on this growth metaphor. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Salvation, spring up from the grounds. Growing, because God enables it to grow. Our desire is to see kingdom life across this city, for God to be causing people to be saved, to be restored, to be put back together in wonderful ways in all kinds of places around the city. Our emphasis on discipleship, on learning together, learning by growing, by doing, our iPods, our desire to nurture and eventually see missional communities take root and form. They're all to do with creating the conditions to work with Jesus and see what God can grow. Salvation springing up from the grounds. Kingdom life coming across the city. It's good news in this country at the moment, as up and down the country, people are coming to faith in all kinds of unexpected ways. In Reading, where not far from where we used to live, just in the past few weeks, 1,000 people have come to faith in different ways through outreach, people just going onto the streets and telling about Jesus. And there's other things happening up and down the country. Salvation spring up from the grounds. Let us see kingdom life across the city. Let us organize ourselves. Let us see what God is doing. Let us learn to go with that and try the best we can to nurture that, but all the time knowing that the actual growth comes from God. We just have the wonderful privilege to join in, to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty in the soil, to act as gardeners, to serve, sweep the leaves if necessary, and see what God can do in our lands. Let's stand to pray and respond. Lord Jesus, I think you've actually just given me one word for this moment of response after all that I've said, and that is the word release. For you to release your spirit to enable growth, to enable new things, to enable growth where growth has been stunted or curtailed or stopped somehow. Lord, we welcome you to pour your spirit. And may we see salvation spring up from the ground. May we see kingdom life emerging, switching on, becoming apparent, manifesting across the city. Because you have brought it about. And I think the word release might well apply to people individually this morning. Maybe one, two, maybe a few. That maybe you know that things have been blocked, they have been stopped or stunted or whatever, but God wants to release new growth. May that be possible, Lord. May that come to pass because of your grace and your mercy. If that rings a bell with you, if that strikes a chord, then I suggest that as we worship, come and find me at the back and we'll get people to pray with you and just pray alongside and say, Lord, bring release. So we're going to sing now and worship before Karen leads in communion. If anyone would like prayer, then during the singing, find us at the back and we will enable that to happen in some way. Let's sing and worship together.